Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I want to welcome you to today's World Changer message. I have so many things on my heart today, and in fact, I'm sitting down sharing this with you just out of my heart. I don't have any written notes in front of me. I don't have any reminders of things that I'm supposed to say. But as the title says, we have the answers. Now, I want you to realize that the world is in the greatest turmoil that it has ever been in, possibly since creation. We do have wars and rumors of war. We do have earthquakes and famine and natural disasters taking place. We could even be entering into that time where the book of Revelation talks about a great heat scorching the earth if global warming is the reality that some scientists say that it is. We are facing catastrophes on every level, yet this is the time that the people of God have to know their God, have to know who we are in Jesus, have to have a faith that is real, that it's not about all the phony, religious, goofy things that we tried to use our faith for in the past, but this is where we use our faith to know and to follow our God through circumstances that would destroy other people, that would bring other people to their knees. This is the time when we as believers have to know and follow God and be able to confidently say to our family, say to our friends, say to our neighbors, follow me. I know where I'm going. We have the answers. And I'm going to tell you something. The world is becoming more and more desperate for the answers. And when you look at all the turmoil that's happening in the world, you do realize that the world does not have the answers and that the world is grabbing at straws in every direction. Now, give you a little bit of end time events perspective. As most of you know, and I've shared this a little bit, over 30 years ago, I began saying that the interpretation of the book of Revelation was grossly inaccurate, grossly circumstantial, and was pretty much based on an American or a Western perspective of world events. And for as far back as I can remember, I've taught that the false religion was probably not going to be a false version of Christianity, but in fact, that the false religion would be the Muslim faith, and that the religion that would rise up to try to overthrow the world would be the Muslim faith, the one group of people in the world that are not controlled by the great whore, and the great whore, mystery Babylon, not natural Babylon, but the great whore, very probably is the economic system. Now, the one group of people in the world who are not influenced by the economic system are the Muslims. What they want is they want the world to live for the Muslim faith. Now, one of the misunderstandings or maybe the misinformation that we're getting from the press and from many sources is that Muslims, like Christians or like Jews, simply want to convert other people to their faith, to their way of seeing things. Now, while there are groups of Muslims that are fully committed to bringing about Sharia law, who are fully committed to converting the world to the Muslim faith, that the greater picture in the radical Muslim movement is the fact that they intend to bring about the last great war. In other words, they believe in Armageddon, and they are working to bring the world to Armageddon because they believe that in Armageddon, that this will be the final stand where Allah will conquer the world and all the world will come to the Muslim faith. So we are dealing with radicals who have religious beliefs that compel them to world violence, world domination, and it really doesn't even matter if they dominate the world as much as it matters that they bring the world to the point of the last great war. So this is what we're facing, and this is why there will never be any rational negotiations that will take place with the Muslims. Now, right now, you're seeing this in Egypt. You're seeing the fall of a 30-year dictator, which, by my estimation, The United States did there what they did in Iran and what they've done in other countries, which they should not have done. We should not have been in other parts of the world propping up dictators, because what will happen is that that dictator will fall, just like the Shah of Iran fell, just like other dictators fell. And when they fall, you have to understand that there's several dominoes that are going to fall as well. One of the things that's going to happen when Egypt falls, and that is that as our ally, they have in their possession some of the most advanced fighting weapons, weapons of warfare in the entire world. And they have our jets, they have our Stinger missiles, they have all sorts of sophisticated warfare equipment. Now, the problem is going to be when Egypt falls, every bit of that warfare equipment, the jets, I think it's the F-4, the jets, the Stinger missiles, the anti-aircraft missiles, everything that they have is going to fall into the hands of whoever the next government is. So, you know, we have equipped Egypt, we equipped Iran, we equipped other Middle Eastern nations with the very weapons that will ultimately be turned on Israel and possibly at times be turned on the United States. And this goes back to something that I have taught and taught and taught, and I've had so many people resist me on this. I've had so many people get mad at me on this and tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. But see, the first law of the kingdom of God is you cannot use force. Everywhere in the world that we have used force to even try to establish democracy, it has always blown up. It has always gone awry. It has always turned out to be a greater disaster than it would have been if we had gone in and been peacemakers. But that's, you know, that's a discussion for another day. But I want you to realize that Egypt right now has entered into these riots. And interestingly, these riots broke out after the Friday mosque meetings. Now, it is not coincidental that these riots broke out at this time. And what you realize from this, that these riots in Egypt, just like the riots in Greece, just like the riots, even when we have riots on college campuses here in America, these riots are not the spontaneous outcry of people seeking freedom. These riots are the organized efforts of terrorists and anti-government groups seeking to overthrow the governments for the sake of overthrowing countries. Now, you've probably heard, I believe the organization is called the Islamic Brotherhood, which is an organization that our president, our politicians, people all across America are standing up saying that they're a peaceful organization, and they're not a peaceful organization. They are linked to Hamas, they are linked to Al-Qaeda, they're linked to every radical, violent, terrorist Muslim organization in the world, and they have links and roots in so many organizations here in America, and they have defined, not just in Egypt, but they have defined in America their intention to overthrow America and their intention to establish America as a Muslim nation with Sharia law. Now, that sounds extreme. That is their own literature. That's not my literature. That's not my opinion. That is what they say in their own literature. Now, you have to realize that these uprisings have come about by an organized effort to overthrow that government. The question is not, should the president of Egypt leave? The question is not, and the real issue is not, was he a ruthless dictator? None of those are the real issues. Those are facts, but they're not necessarily the real issues. The real issue is that those facts provide the opportunity for terrorist groups and radical groups to overthrow that government. Now, Egypt is the last ally that Israel has in that part of the world. And when Egypt falls, Israel will be surrounded by unfriendly Muslim nations. You know, Jordan today, just today, Jordan dissolved their government. Now, what is happening here is there is forming a League of Nations, which may well be the 10 nations that the book of Revelation talks about. I never believed it was the European common market. I've always thought it would be the Muslim nations that would organize together under a false prophet and try to accomplish what they believe to be the will of God or the will of Allah. Now, as I was looking today at a map of the world and considering the possibilities of how this would affect Europe, of how this would affect Saudi Arabia, how this would affect the Philippines, the one thing that suddenly jumped out to me was the fact that with these moves that are taking, really just in a very short period of time, the entire Middle East could be under a government system, and that is their intention. Their intention is to create one Muslim nation that would be ruled from ancient Babylon. That is their established intention. The Muslims have always been committed to the resurrection of Babylon, which would be the fulfillment of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. Now, what we're not realizing here and what we're not thinking about is to the north is China. Now, in the book of Revelation, it tells us very clearly that there will be conflict between Egypt and Syria, and that that conflict will break out and that Syria will sweep down through Israel, and that there will be a pact made with Israel. And when that pact is made, the 7 years tribulation will begin. And keep in mind, the 7 years tribulation is not the tribulation of God on the earth. It is the tribulation of the Antichrist. The first 3.5 years are the tribulation of the Antichrist on the earth. And we know that when this peace pact is signed, that this is the beginning of the absolute end of the world as we know it today. Now, the Bible tells us that when this war breaks out, that news out of the north of a 200 million man army will cause this war that would have taken place against Egypt to come to an end on some level. But basically, it's going to come down to the fact, I think, that China, which is now becoming the most rapidly developing economy in the world, and China is consuming more oil than any nation in the world, China will be desperate for the oil that has been taken over by the Muslim nations. And you got to understand, even though right now the Muslims are creating coalitions with Marxists, with communists, with socialists, and with progressives, you know, it's really interesting. American progressives, Americans who are very close to this administration, Americans, actually Van Jones, who was a part of this administration one time, Americans who are very close to this administration have their fingers in creating coalitions and even helping to organize the riots that are going on in Egypt. You just have to wonder, what do these people have in common? Well, I'll tell you what they have in common. They intend to overthrow the world as it is currently known, to bring about the progressive agenda of the elites being in control of the world. Now, let me tell you, once the Muslims overthrow whatever parts of the world they're capable of overthrowing, I want you to realize they will have no use for the progressives, and they will have no use for the communists, and they will have no use for the socialists. In other words, they will be at immediate odds and immediate conflict with the nation of China. And China will need their oil, and somehow this is going to break out into an incredible, incredible war. You know, there's details about this that I don't want to go into. There's details about this that I'm not clear on, that I don't think anybody is really clear on. But you say, Jim, wait a minute. The name of this CD is We Have the Answers. Well, I want to tell you, we do have the answers. The Bible says, fear not, let not your heart be troubled. Now, I want you to understand, we live in a day when the Bible prophesies that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Now, your heart failing, we're not talking about heart attacks here. We are talking about your capacity to trust your heart. Fear dominating your heart in such a way that you have no ability to connect with the voice of God in your heart. You have no ability to follow God in your heart. And your life is overrun by the circumstances. And We do not want to be caught unaware. Let me tell you something. These things that I have been teaching you for years about writing the truth on your heart, this is it. This is when you've got to do it. Even if these things do not happen immediately, we are still living in a day that we must know how to write the truth on our heart, hear the truth from our heart, experience the grace of God from our heart, follow the path that the Lord is leading us in, because if we can't do that, we will go the way of the world. We will be overcome. You know, I got an email from a brother. I'm not at all breaking confidence. I'm not being critical. I just thought he was being very honest with me. He's one of our world changers. He'll listen to this. He just said, man, I don't want to hear about what's happening in the world. I don't want to believe that these things are coming to pass. I don't want to think about the fact that there's hard times ahead of me. Let me tell you something. None of us do, but that doesn't change it. And what our tendency would be to bury our heads in the sands, close our ears, close our eyes so that we don't have to face what's coming, but that's not going to change the fact. Whether the end is imminent or whether it is a ways off, we are entering into the most troubled times. We are in the most troubled times that the world has ever seen. But you see, we have the answers. I tell you, you know, some people call me like the incurable optimist. You know, when I was laying on the hospital bed and they were talking to me about the possibilities of not being alive for a few more days, all I could think, yeah, I wanted to be here with my family. Yes, I wanted to stay here. But you know what? The other side of that coin was, but you know, the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to be with Jesus. You know, there's got to be this reality. We've got to overcome the fear of death, and we overcome the fear of death by knowing the source of life, by connecting to the source of life and experiencing God in such a phenomenal way that these things on the outside, they cannot trouble us, they cannot torment us, but they would only serve as warning signs that we wisely use to prepare for the times that are ahead of us. Let me tell you something. This is where you sit back and say, I value what's important. I look around me and I realize that the current administration fulfills their agenda. I realize that the buildings and the property that we use here to create programs to reach the world, I realize that it would probably be gone. It would probably be confiscated. I realize that if the extreme socialist agenda were to be fulfilled in our country, that people like me would be on the top of the list of people to be assassinated. I realize all of these things, but I realize that the only reason those things are true is Jesus said, man, rejoice when you're persecuted, or rejoice even at the fact that you might have to face persecution for his name. Now, you know, I'm not into persecution. I'm not into suffering. That's not my thing. That's not what I want, and that's not where I'm going. But I'm going to tell you this. What an honor it is that you and I, we've had the opportunity to discover what very few believers throughout all of Christendom have ever discovered. We discovered the gospel of peace. Man alive, that's got to be more than a doctrine to us. It can't just be something that we learned and we argue with our friends about. This has got to be a reality that shapes our emotions, that establishes our heart, that creates the sense of who we are in Jesus. We have had the opportunity to discover and overcome the stumbling stone that causes more people to stumble than any other thing in the world. Faith righteousness. That is the stumbling stone of the gospel. And we know that. And we can live out of that. And we can overcome the condemnation and the guilt and the shame. And we can overcome legalism. And we can overcome the control of religious people and the control of society. Because we know that we are as we should be. Because we are in Jesus. We have discovered the unconditional, limitless love of God. And if that's a discovery that you're experiencing in your heart, then every single day it will mold and shape everything that happens in your life. It will mold and shape your emotions. It will mold and shape everything that you experience. And we've had this incredible opportunity to realize that all of these things become our source of power when we experience them in our heart. We have the answers. And I'm going to tell you something. As the days of trouble come, if the economy gets worse, And it could, you know, it could still turn around. These things are not etched in granite. God has not written this on a timetable in heaven. It's going to happen regardless. We have authority in planet Earth, and what we do and the decisions we make will determine how and when these things come about. But I want to tell you something. The book of Peter says, be ready to give an answer to those that ask why you have this hope in you. You know, I've always told people this. If nobody ever asks you why you're different, then you're not different. You're just like everybody else. If nobody ever asks you why you have hope, in other words, optimism, why you're expecting things to work out, if they never ask you that, then obviously you don't really live out of a sense of hope and expecting things to go well. But I'm going to tell you, you connect to God in your heart, hope becomes just the fruit. See, it becomes a fruit of something that emerges effortlessly. It just becomes, it just flows out of who you are. It just is there because you're there and because you are who you are in Jesus. We have the answers and we value what's important. You know, I want to tell you something. I can lose this house. I can lose this property. I can lose a lot of things. Can't lose my Savior. Can't lose the love of my wife and my family. Can't lose the meaningful relationships that we have here and that we'll enjoy in heaven. You see, when we value that which is truly valuable, when we build our life on the rock, then we have what others don't have. And when others' lives are falling apart because they've lost their money or because economy is hard or even because they face death, we have the answers. Now, we have the answers that can turn our country around. If we stand up for it, and I'll tell you, that's the thing about you world changers. You help me every month to take this message farther and farther and farther and to reach more and more people. You're doing everything you can, and we're taking this out of it. In our personal lives, multiplying this. You know, having eye groups, sharing books, giving CDs to people, forwarding emails to people, doing everything we can to love on people and touch people so that they can experience this. We have the answers that have the potential to change how destiny unfolds. And if destiny unfolds in a less than desirable way, we have the answers to sustain ourselves through whatever comes down the road. And we have the answers to give to those who will be hurting. I'm telling you, hold fast to your faith. Use all of these heart tools. Get yourself established. Get your heart established. Use these tools like never before. Spend time every single day connecting with and communing with and experiencing God in your heart so that you face every day with peace and joy and confidence. You know, you've heard me tell the story, and I've faced some incredible financial challenges more than once. And when we faced our first big financial challenge back in the early 80s, my name was the only name on about $500,000 note for the property and the building and all that kind of stuff. And this was back when the savings and loans collapsed. See, I've been down this road before. Maybe not as extreme as it is now, but I've been down this road before. The savings and loans collapsed, and I was left with a 90-day note for about $500,000 in my name. And everything that I had was at stake. It wasn't what the ministry had. No one else was going to be affected by this other than me and my family. Well, at that time, $500,000 was a lot of money to me. It was more than I had. And I'm telling you, I had liens filed against the ministry. I had lawsuits, you know, filed against me. But I knew one thing. I would get up every single day, and every day I would connect with God in my heart. And my strategy for walking through that kind of situation was that I would not face the day and I would not make a single decision until I had complete peace in my heart. And every day when I had peace in my heart, I would walk out, face the world, make the decisions that I need to make. I want to tell you something. I've used that strategy ever since then. And back a few years ago, when, again, things happened beyond my control, and we were $2 million in the red and almost $600,000 in arrears on bills, and when someone had embezzled every penny of my retirement money, every cent that I had to my name, and I probably never shared that part of the story with you. I knew how to come out of this on top. I knew who I was in Jesus. I was immovable. And I did the same thing then. I stayed at the place of peace, and I made decisions out of the peace of God working in my heart. Let me tell you something. When you know how to live out of your heart, you can face anything. You know, some people will tell you that we could use our faith and we'll never have to face hard times. Well, I got news for you. Christians all over the world would beg to differ with you on that. I don't know what's going to come. I know that we can shape how things come. I know that we can change when and how these things unfold for our nation. But we're still going to face hard times one way or the other. And eventually, the clock is going to start ticking for the last 7 years. Whether we're in the beginning of sorrows, whether we're at the doorstep of the Great Tribulation, really doesn't matter. Or whether we've got years to serve God before these things actually come to pass. The question is, am I living out of my heart? Am I connecting with God in my heart? Let me tell you, use all the tools we got. Get my new book, Wired for Success, Program for Failure. Learn how to have success out of your heart. Do everything you can to know how to live out of your heart so that when you face the day, every single day, when you face the day, you're living out of a sense of peace. You're living out of a sense of success. You're living out of a sense of joy. You're living out of a sense of wholeness because you're living out of a sense of who you are in Jesus. I want to tell you something. We are taking this message to the world like never before. I can't even list all the great things that are happening, but we're going farther. Just like every year, we're reaching farther than we've ever reached before, and we're going to keep on reaching. So I just appreciate you. I appreciate your help, and I'm going to keep you posted on everything that's going on, and we're going to keep changing the way the world sees God. Hey, listen, make plans to be here for our World Changer Conference. It's a free conference that we offer to all of our world changers just to be a blessing to you. And try to be in some of our live meetings. Look at our itinerary. When you go to our homepage, if you'll scroll down the bottom right-hand side, you'll find our itinerary, and you'll see everywhere we're going to be and when we're going to be there and the contact information. God bless you. I appreciate you. I love you.